it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's a Patriots Monday. WEEI Afternoons. We'll check in with quarterback Drake May. Rough start for him. Rough start for the Pats in general. That comes your way on WEEI Afternoons at 2 o'clock here on WEEI. We'll get back to your phone calls coming up at 617-779-7937. We spent a lot of time today on Drake May. We'll get to Vrabel coming up in just a moment. The defense in general, though, Keith, how much Geno Smith carved you up?
Yeah.
And to a lesser extent, Jacoby Myers carved you up? It doesn't have me feeling great.
No.
Going into next week against Miami. And I know the Dolphins look like trash in week one.
Maybe the worst team this weekend.
But it doesn't have me feeling great going against those receivers and that passing game, which traditionally has had success against the Patriots. Geno Smith to Jacoby Myers. Bowers is one thing.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers, nice receiver, far from a dominant alpha, you know, top dog type of receiver. That was a problem for them yesterday. I didn't feel great about the defense either. We haven't talked as much about that today. But Geno Smith had way too many big plays, easy plays throughout the game for the second year in a row.
He threw for 362, and by the end, like, they were protecting a big lead, so they weren't even asking him to do it that much. And Brock Bowers got hurt and left the game. And so, yeah, Jacoby Myers just coming up with too many big catches to extend drives. And, yeah, Geno Smith looked like a top 5-10 quarterback in the league. And maybe we do undervalue Geno Smith. That's fair. Like, once you're sort of that guy that's like a bust, even when you sort of turn it around, there's still you look at it sideways. You know, Ryan Tannehill had this with Vrabel in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tannehill and Geno Smith came in the league kind of similarly. They both kind of turned their careers around, but you never really fully trusted it. But Geno's been, you know, a couple Pro Bowls, and like, he had a big game last year against him. He had a big season last year, even, you know.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, Seattle last year won 10 games.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. If Drake May's winning 10 games, no matter what his stats look like, we're going to go, oh, it's a pretty good year.
But your overall point, like, Jacoby Myers, I don't think is a great receiver. He's their best. They have some, like, young, fast guys that they have, too. And Brock Bowers is a stud. The defense did a pretty good job on Genty. I know he got in the end zone, but, like, Genty didn't do really anything.
Genty did nothing. We got a text about this earlier. Yeah. Like, oh, the Patriots couldn't run because Carroll took it away. Well, the Pats took away the Raiders' run game, too, and Geno had plenty of answers, unlike Drake.
No, but they picked him off. Like, Carlton Davis made a really nice play, and they did get to him four times. Like, they had four sacks and a pick. Like, overall, I like that, but 362 yards, like, no.
Way too much. This text, 617-779-7937. Guys, I think the game would have been completely different if Gonzo was healthy. Let's put a pin in that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
The defense killed it for them. Davis being lost on that one play didn't help either for the 15-20-yard gain. He's talking about the 20-yard bomb.
I was
the third and 20.
Hawkins.
But No. Oh, well, Hawkins got lost on the touchdown to Trey Tucker. I think he's talking about the third and 20 where Carlton Davis got lost.
Yep.
Gonzo would have made a difference yesterday.
Of course.
Here's the question. And I didn't know how much of a difference he was going to make against the Raiders. But here's the question. Is he ready to go? Can he be ready to go? Like, what? Like, is he even hurt? I heard Curtis talking about this today. It did tie together pretty nicely where one of the first plays from contact in pads, he went out and got hurt almost immediately.
Yeah.
Vrabel already said he's pissed about his contract. So,
Is
he actually hurt?
Yeah.
Could he have pushed himself to be out there? Like, the Gonzo thing hanging over the... If you agree that they needed Christian Gonzalez yesterday, well, there's a chance he could have pushed himself a little harder to be out there.
All right, am I wrong on this? Can they not give him a full extension until next year anyway?
Correct.
That's why I don't fully buy the contract stuff. I do fully agree.
But why did Vrabel bring it up?
I don't know. I fully agree with you. Vrabel mentioning it is what's breathed life into this whole thing. But it's weird because you can't make this go away right now with $150 million or whatever.
No, you can't, but maybe...
And also, not playing is not helping you.
No, but maybe there's... you're right, they can't offer him the contract yet, but nothing's stopping you from being like, hey, when Christian's a free agent a year from now, his agent is talking to, you know, Kraft, Wolf, whomever, I don't know.
Yeah, not Wolf.
And, you know, sorry, Cowden.
Yeah.
Stretch. Rabes.
Yeah, one of these guys.
Whoever they're
talking
to.
Somebody that has control.
And they're starting to get, like, an idea of where the Patriots are at on the contract, and the two sides just aren't close. Like, maybe it's something like that. Like, you can't offer it, but maybe it's something like that.
I feel like next year at this time, if he doesn't have a deal, then I would be skeptical of every single injury, every single comment, every single everything. This year, it seems like you're actually doing yourself a disservice. Now, it doesn't mean he's getting bad advice, and he's listening to bad advice, but he needs another good year. He barely played as a rookie. He was good last year.
Yeah, what did he play? He played four games as a rookie.
Four?
Really good last year.
16, I think, last year.
Already out this year.
Yeah. You're not helping yourself. So hopefully he's back there sooner rather than later. I'm with you. He's their best player. So anytime you lose a game, especially when he's a corner and the quarterback throws for 360, yeah, you absolutely could have used him.
Okay.
Although I don't know how many points the Patriots offense would have scored, even with Gonzo out there.
Twitch chat is saying, Vrabel didn't say he was pissed about his contract. I didn't say he was pissed about his contract. I said Vrabel brought up his contract out of nowhere.
Yeah, Vrabel was asked just about him, like, it was a very innocuous question.
He was the question was, Drake May is kind of the leader on offense going into year two. Christian Gonzalez going into another year, like, what do you expect?
And he's like, my job as a head coach is to make sure these guys make as much money as they can.
Out of nowhere.
Like, what? And he's like,
out of nowhere. Yeah. So, no, Vrabel, I didn't say he said he was pissed about his contract.
No, he's not.
I think Gonzalez might be pissed about it. That's not what Vrabel said. Vrabel brought up the contract out of nowhere, which we highlighted in real time, which we thought was odd. Then he was hurt. He was supposed to be back week one. He's not. So if you agree that the defense missed him yesterday, I wonder how hard Gonzalez is trying to be out there. And I wonder how hard he's working to get back. And I wonder if any of it is, well, you know what? I'm waiting for my contract, so I'm going to take my time. And I wonder if the Patriots are frustrated by that. And so I think all those things are fair to wonder. We don't know the answer, but I'm wondering about that myself. 617-779-7937. On Vrabel, I just didn't think things looked different enough from a year ago. They were undisciplined, a lot of penalties.
Mm-hmm.
They turned it over, could have been twice. May with another bad pick. The offense still looked completely overmatched. Defense, they got carved up by the likes of Geno Smith. So when I say last year, week one last year, Mayo actually had him ready to go. Vrabel didn't. Mayo's starting ahead of where Vrabel was a year ago.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about on balance, the way they looked under Gerard Mayo last year. That's how the Patriots looked yesterday.
Yeah, I think everything on a game day that you sort of associate to the head coach, it kind of went poorly. So penalties, you're right. They had nine accepted penalties for 70 yards. Mm-hmm. That's brutal. The first possession for the defense went terribly.
Oh, my God.
Gino, just carved up.
Six plays, 66 yards, touchdown.
The first drive for the offense went terribly.
Three plays, two yards, punt.
Halftime adjustments?
Nope.
Okay, so these are some of the things. Like, were you prepared to start the game? Did you make adjustments at the half? And then, like, how buttoned up was it? Vrabel's own line himself was all about the, you know, you can't have the dumb stuff that gets you beat. I think there's a swear in there, but, like, like the stupid bleep that gets you beat.
Yeah, the crap that gets you beat.
Yeah, you gotta, like, well, they had a lot of that stuff.
Yep.
Like, they had a ton of that stuff. And so, you're right, that didn't feel like there was a brand new coach on the sideline just watching the game.
No, this looked like, if you told me Gerard Mayo was the coach yesterday, I wouldn't have known any different. So they weren't ready to go. They weren't well coached. Maybe that changes this week against the Dolphins. You know, Mike McDaniel could be out of a job in a few weeks. The team may have already quit on him. So maybe we feel a lot better about that after week two. But one week in, we got to see it, finally, and they didn't feel like they were ready to go, which again ties back to the offseason. They had a light offseason, light training camp in terms of contact.
Right.
Drake May barely played. So what do you know? The guys weren't ready to go. That's on the heck. That's his whole operation. That's his whole approach. So that was disappointing yesterday, and I'd say none of it's acceptable. Let's go to the phones. Jay's in North Carolina. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. Good show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Premature observation with a disclaimer. One game does not a season make, but I know that the Patriots, they appear to be unseasoned, whereas the Raiders were a seasoned team. And
define season. You mean well coached, like ready, to go? What do you mean by seasoned?
Like marinated?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. Is that they didn't play the starters a little more in the postseason?
Yeah, Vrabel had his chance.
They just weren't ready to go.
No.
On any aspect of it.
Who else do I blame for that besides the head coach? Yeah. So he said he wants to withhold judgment on Vrabel. That's fine if you want to withhold judgment. But I don't know. We're trying to talk about what happened yesterday and react to what it looked like yesterday. And the early returns on Vrabel, bad. They rip off three straight wins. We'll turn it around and we'll say differently. but the early returns not so hot. Let's go to Adam in Canton. Hello, Adam.
Hey, guys. When I heard Bill Belichick this weekend online, I thought it was like one of those AI spoof videos.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something Rex Ryan would be saying, not Bill Belichick. But then you watch the Patriots yesterday and you say, maybe he actually did his team a favor by not allowing the Patriots into his building because they look like a complete trash team. And let me tell you this, if they go down and lose to Miami after how Miami looked this weekend, it is going to be a bloodbath up here.
Okay. Yeah, there is that. But the Belichick thing, it's funny because that question, so we played it earlier, basically like, hey, there's a report that scouts, Patriot scouts aren't allowed there. And he's like, yeah, I'm not allowed there, so they're not allowed here. That is true. That is very much a Rex Ryan thing. Any other year, Bill Belichick would be asked the exact same question. He would kind of snort. He would grumble under his breath something about like, well, you know, I'm not going to get into how all scouts do it. He'd give you some weird walk around answer.
Yep.
But yeah, it's clear that I'm not welcome there around their facility, and so they're not welcome in ours.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
I would say he's losing it, but he's already lost it.
I mean, I can't believe he answered it. Like, I just can't believe.
For 20 years of like really not answering questions, yeah. Like 90% of questions, guys, he's always slipping a few answers. But.
Guys, if you got any questions about the game, I'm happy to answer them.
Yeah.
I'm just focused on like, you know.
That's more of a question Charlotte. For our scouting department, or he'd say something else.
Yeah.
But nope, just straight up.
Maybe it's because they beat Charlotte. If they lost, you wouldn't have gotten an answer.
That might also be true. I think he's feels better, a little sigh of relief that he actually won a game.
He's more worried about continuing his grudge with Kraft than he is about,
you know,
winning games or the overall health of his program, which has to be taking a nosedive after this story.
It's a great rivalry where neither is winning. Great feud where right now nobody's winning.
Race to the bottom. That's
true. Tom Brady continues to win the feud between Belichick and Kraft.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. All right, more of your feedback here. 617-779-7937. Let's go to John in Plymouth. Hello, John.
Yes, hello, fellas.
Hello.
Two quick comments on yesterday's game. First of all, the quarterback. He's an average. He's obviously a professional player. He's a good player, but he's got a long way to go. Two observations. When he takes a few steps back, he's not going back far enough to read the defenses properly. Yeah, you know, if you watch Tom Brady, you see what I'm talking about. Unless you're making a shot, you know, pass, then I can understand not going deeper back to throw the pass. The other thing is on the coverage, the deep defense guys.
The safeties. They look like they were missing.
Finish.
They were missing Jabril Peppers.
He would have. Yeah, he would have gotten there.
Yeah, the deep guys.
So back up.
The X, the Z, vertical route.
They missed Jabril Peppers a little
bit. Drag May needs to back up more.
There was a second piece that.
I just summed up that whole call.
The previous caller brought up that I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
I heard Greg talking about this a little bit tongue in cheek. Week two is not a must win at Miami, but
it's not.
They're gonna do themselves a lot because it will be a bloodbath if they lose to that team.
Yeah,
Keith,
yeah.
As bad as they looked, and again, they always struggle in Miami. I predicted a loss to Miami before the year. I still don't feel great about it going into this week. The Dolphins,
sick brag, bro.
The Dolphins are favored, right?
No, I know. But also, doesn't like, and not to go crazy here, but doesn't like week three Pittsburgh looks a lot better than we thought.
If you're 0-2, that one might be a must.
And then you got Aaron Rodgers slinging four touchdowns a game now.
I'm saving my must win for that, but I really, if we're being honest, I didn't think Pittsburgh looked great in that game. Rodgers threw four touchdowns.
Yeah.
He still threw for like 220.
But
it's not like he did that much. They almost lost to the Jets. I don't think the Steelers look great.
But so we just did what happened, right, a couple hours ago. And so everybody has the memory of the games from yesterday and like who looked good, who looked bad. It's only 1 week, right? Uh-huh. But Carolina, how'd they look? On the schedule. New Orleans, how'd they look? On the schedule.
Great point.
Tennessee, Cleveland, the Jets twice, the Giants, all on the Miami twice. Like all those teams played just as bad or worse than the Patriots.
Score one for the schedule.
It's still there. Maybe the Raiders are slightly better than we think. The Patriots might be worse, but the teams are playing
the
are
Jets,
all suck still,
the
too.
The Jets might be better than we think.
Oh, no, the Jets might be. The Jets-Steelers one, I don't know how to make sense of that one.
Yeah.
We'll see soon.
I mean, I didn't expect the Jets to hang 30 or whatever it was on Pittsburgh yesterday.
But I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be half as motivated to play the Patriots as he is the Jets.
You start 0-2, let's talk must-win week three. But, yeah, I mean, look, not to state anything overly obvious, but you do yourself a lot of favors by going to Miami and winning and getting to 500.
Yes.
We thought you'd win week one. We thought you'd lose week two.
Mike McDaniel's probably fired at that point.
He might, if Mike McDaniel loses to this team,
he might quit by that point.
He could quit. Actually,
yeah. His press conference after a Patriots loss could be like, that's it for me.
Guys, I'm done.
Guys, see you later.
I lost the team last year. Yep. I'm surprised they brought me back. Yep. We didn't do anything week one. I lost to Indiana Jones. Never stopped Indiana Jones.
No, Indiana Jones scored still running.
Scored every drive. And, yeah, I'm just going to quit on the spot.
Yeah.
David's in the car. Hello, David.
Hi. Good afternoon, guys. So I don't know if you guys heard the interview this morning with Mike Vrabel.
We did, sure.
And what'd
you think?
So Curtis asked the question, and Mike Vrabel asked him to rephrase the question because it was too much in the question. And that is the issue that I think we're overlooking with Drake May, how it seems like there's a lot of emphasis, a lot of focusing on protecting him versus making more challenging for him, making him comfortable, more comfortable than versus being challenged.
Yeah, David, the question was about has Drake May won enough games? And you're
right. Please use your time as efficiently as we can.
Vrabel asked him to rephrase it.
Yeah.
And Chris did. He said, you know, how important is it for May to start winning games? He's got to start winning games. If he's not doing that by the end of this year, then we're really going to look at it and go, do they have the right guy? Is he the answer? Can he be the next guy? All these questions about him, big picture.
Because they got to show signs somehow, right?
I'm not doing it after week one, but week one wasn't ideal at all. Nothing close.
Like, wins, clearly, will sort of extend your stay, right? Like, they're talking about it in Denver, I'm sure. Like, Bo Nix didn't look very good, but they won again. Like, last year, he had ups and downs, but they won a bunch of games. You know, Josh Allen didn't play great his first couple of years statistically, but they were winning games. Justin Herbert, kind of the flip side, Justin Herbert was lighting it up stats-wise, and then they're like, all right, we need new coaches, and maybe that'll lead to sort of wins. But if you have a couple of years as a starting quarterback in the NFL, and you're not winning, and the stats aren't great, like, the argument to keep you in there is what? Just you were a high pick? Like, eventually they're going to find another high pick.
Yeah. And again,
I'm not saying that's the case. Again, I know people are all fired up about it. It is one game, but,
but
off to a good start.
There's some stuff I'm ready to say after 1 week where I'm like, man, that's going to get cleaned up quick. The wins, we'll tally that up later on this year. But I agree with the overall take. He better start winning games this year.
Yep, that'd be nice.
Because if he's one real win, but the Patriots were a 4-win team as a rookie and they're like 6-11 this year, there's going to be big questions going into year three about if he's the guy or not. He'll be on the hot seat. We did the same thing with Mac, and I think this guy's better than Mac.
Yes.
But you got to start proving it. 617-779-7937. That's how you get in touch all day long. Here on a Patriots Monday, WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. They're going to talk to the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Drake May. Maybe ask him about winning a few more, maybe mixing in a few more wins there for Drake May.
Let's see how that goes.
If you had to guess the mix in week two against Miami, you think they make a concerted effort to come out and be more balanced? I mean, Indy ran on them. They have a better running game in Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
But Indy came out and ran on him yesterday.
So did the quarterback. So I think Drake May should get more.
It's a good point.
More.
So, okay.
Yeah.
What do you think the mix is in that game? You think we're closer to 50-50?
Yeah. Well, assuming that they're up or down a possession or tied, yes. I mean, if they somehow get down by two, then no, that throws the whole thing out of whack.
But are they going to be able to play a game in Miami on their terms? I have questions about that. They struggle to do that with Brady.
And if they can against Miami the way Miami played this week, then you wonder how many teams they can do that for. Now, all of a sudden, that soft schedule doesn't really matter as much.
Pretty bad.
Yep.
So, look, I think that'll be the design. There wasn't a lot there in the running game last week. I'm curious if it's still a lot of Stevenson or if we get more Trevion Henderson, who was very involved.
Yeah,
in week one, didn't do much with the opportunity.
Did not do much.
But very involved. So I'm curious what that split looks like.
Text line says, after 3 weeks, if they've lost them all, they're going to be calling for Tommy Cutlets.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cutlets.
Yeah, no thanks.
Well?
No thanks.
Well?
I don't care if they're 0-17. Give me Drake May.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ride this thing all the way.
617-779-7937. That's how you dial up WEEI Afternoons. Ya got Hart. Ya got Fitzy. They come your way at 2 with the quarterback of the New England Patriots, Drake May. I will get you the clip du jour. You're not going to want to miss that good stuff earlier today.
Oh, yeah.
On a Patriots Monday. Plus, right after trending with Billy Lanny, It's time for Grab Bag.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.